How should a Christian face death? Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. Thank you for joining us. Today we're addressing a subject that we need to talk about more, and that means moving from this life to the next. Yes, that includes death. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 8, Paul addresses the subject, and though he doesn't use the word, as I am, saying, "Are you afraid to die?" he insinuates there's much more for us to look forward to as we transition. He calls it being absent from the body. Let's look at these verses and let's talk through it because I believe it can strengthen us, particularly right now in our season of time when a worldwide pandemic, when many of us have had loved ones and close friends who've passed away, some with this pandemic or others just with life itself because it's appointed unto man once to die. Here he says in verse 1, tying it to the last chapter, chapter 4, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Wow. This we know. He's confident. I know it's a knowing by faith, but he also had the deposit of the Holy Spirit assuring him. Now, he just finished chapter 4, as you might remember, saying the things that are temporary, we see. The things that are eternal, we don't see. They're unseen. And he talks about these light afflictions that we're having cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Well, here he's talking about that process and that glory. He moves right on with the same subject. I know when he wrote the letter, there's no chapter and verse, so he moves right into what we are calling chapter 5 here, and he says, "For we know that if this earthly house, this tent, is destroyed." Notice he calls it a tent. What's a tent? A tent is a temporary dwelling. None of us would expect a tent to last for very long. The weather would cause the canvas to rot. The ropes, the material, whatever it's made out of, would be destroyed by winds. You set up a tent, it doesn't last very long. Most of us see the dwelling place of a tent really temporary, maybe one or two nights. Some maybe longer, but you get the point. It's not designed to last forever. Neither is your body. Your body is decaying. That's why Paul says, "Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day." He acknowledged that because of the fall in Genesis, these bodies are under decay. Now, we're not under the curse of the law. Therefore, we've been freed in that in our salvation. But nevertheless, these bodies still are in this present world, and they do die. And it's appointed unto us to die. And Christ coming to overcome death is that we move from death to life in our spirit. And then in the final resurrection, he changes these bodies and transforms them into what is glorious. And Paul's looking forward to what it means to be absent from the body and not be afraid to face these things. And so he calls this tent, he says, "What if it's destroyed?" Well, we know that tents could be easily destroyed. He said, "If it is destroyed, we have a building, but this one's from God." Not that these bodies are not from God, but he says this one is eternal and it's not made with hands. In other words, it's not anything you've ever seen. It is eternal in the heavens. It is from heaven, from God, what he has prepared for us. That's why it's called the heavenly. Now he says, we know these things. We don't have to be afraid of death. Isn't it interesting when Paul says, "What can mortal men do to me?" All they can do is kill this body. The fact that all of us will die, and maybe it's because of the unknown. Maybe it's because we don't know how we'll make that transition. Maybe there's a lot of reasons there. But here in this passage, it's as if Paul's saying the worst thing that some people think that could happen is really the greatest thing, because you can't get to glory in this life without the vehicle of passing from this life to the next or being absent from the body, and that's called death. He said, you can't get there. This house is made temporary. It's like a tent, but you're going to get a house that's not made with hands, but eternal in heavens. So he's talking about in us, we all desire this as believers. In verse 2, he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." There's a groaning going on inside of us, not only because we know this life is temporary, but there is something more. We know there's limitations with this body, but there's something more. As a believer, there is this dissatisfaction. And I believe we should walk with a dissatisfaction. The more I get entangled with this world and the cares of life, the more I don't see the eternal. And the more I see the eternal, I can deal with the temporary. And he says here in verse 3, "If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Paul's saying we don't have a death wish here. We're groaning. We desire earnestly. There's nothing wrong with desiring earnestly to be clothed with the glory or to be with Christ, to pass from this life. He says, it's not that we're desiring to be unclothed. It's not that we're desiring to die. This is not a death wish. But what is it? It shouldn't be negative. It should be glorious. Because he says, as Christians, we have this earnest desire in us. It's pure in our heart to want to be clothed by the eternal, because the eternal already is in us and we desire to have that eternal abode. Why? Because death is not our enemy. You might say it's not our friend because Jesus defeated it at the cross, overcame death and hell, and then in the resurrection, it is fully defeated. Oh, death, where's your sting? It's swallowed up with life. So it's really not our enemy anymore. And that's why we have a confidence in this preparation. Look at verse 5. "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Have you ever thought that you're prepared for this very thing, to die or to pass from this life? That's what you're prepared for. I know we like to think about our purpose, and I love having purpose in this life. I believe I have purpose. I believe all of us do. It's His purpose, though. Sometimes we preach, God's going to use you so mightily, and you're going to do all these great things and fulfill your dreams, do all the things that we get so caught up in what we're doing in this world, we forget the eternal. Oh, I don't want to be not effective in this world. We're supposed to be responsible. We're supposed to go on and raise children. We're supposed to build houses. We're supposed to do those things, but it's all making the kingdom of God first in our life. Because what we're really prepared for is this very thing. Is what? God, who has given us a Spirit as a guarantee. He not only prepared us for glory, but He's placed glory in us, His Spirit, that we might experience the glory of God in this life as a deposit. Now, Paul used that word deposit not only in the Corinthians, but also in Ephesians. We're made aware of it in other epistles of the Holy Spirit given to us as a guarantee of promise. If this is our deposit, can you imagine the fullness? So in one sense, the Holy Spirit in us is a part of the eternal already because He is God and it's a part of the eternal. But he's saying that was given to us a deposit because we've been prepared for this very thing. Verse 6, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." He said, we're always aware of this. As long as we're in this body, we're not with the Lord. Now, we know that God's with us, and Paul would be aware of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. He mentions the guarantee being with us. But what he's saying is to be present with the Lord face to face in the completeness. Now we just see in part. Now we see by faith, but he's saying we are confident. We know as long as we're in this body, we're absent from the Lord. That's why he says in verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now, all of the Christian experience is by faith, but he's talking specifically here that we believe that God exists, that Christ is eternal in the heavens for us, and we've never seen God. Those of us who have never seen Christ, we believe the report of the Gospels. We believe the report of the apostles. We believe the report of the believers who knew Christ and saw Christ, even in the resurrection. But we've never seen Him face to face. That's amazing. Why? Because we live by faith. Can you imagine what the angels and all of heaven must think about us who just trust God, believe God that He exists by faith? It is a faith walk. I know we like to have evidence for believing. We like to have apologetics, and I get all of that. But ultimately, it is a faith walk. That's why Paul is making it clear that we have something beyond this life. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Did you hear what Paul just said? He said, we're confident, yes, and well pleased, rather to be absent from the body. He said, I would rather die. Oh, I know we don't like to use that term, but that's what he means to be absent from the body. You can't get with the Lord without transitioning through the vehicle of death. That's why death has lost its sting. That's why it's lost its power. It's still the vehicle. It's appointed that a man wants to die. Here's what I hear Paul saying. We have to know we're prepared for this. We don't have to be afraid of death. If someone were to take our life, what are they doing to us? What can mere man do to us? What can mere mortal man do to us? And if these bodies are destroyed, however they in life, what is that? It is the vehicle to glory. And we're groaning already for something even greater. I want to live life fully for the kingdom. I want to make Christ first in my life, but I don't want to be afraid of death. I want to embrace it. If I get to know the end of my day, I want to gather people around me. I want to tell them of the glories of God. I want to remind them of the journey. I want to challenge them to embrace it in the same way. I want it to be a glorious experience as we move from this life, or as I move from this life to the next life. I want it to be clearly declared by faith and say, yea, rather, I desire to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord and to share some of the glory, because the glory that we are going to have can only be received by the Spirit and by faith. Can I tell you, don't be afraid. Walk out your faith in Christ, knowing that we have more in store for us than what we see in this life. Thank you for walking today in the Word.